This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. We start today with our series, The Spiritual Edge, stories about innovation in belief, belonging, and practice.
I'm a Muslim.
I am a Jewish.
I have no religion.
I'm Christian.
Reformed Judaism.
I'm Catholic.
Muslim. Not religious.
Buddhist.
Southern Baptist.
Hindu. Atheist.
Christian.
Agnostic.
Catholic.
Living in a multicultural city can breed all sorts of surprises. On a corner in Oakland, just east of Lake Merritt, a small Buddha has helped bring neighbors together. Vietnamese immigrants care for the statue, which is housed inside a rather elaborate shrine. KALW's Judy Silber lives in that neighborhood. She brings us this story about what can happen when streets, religion, culture, and crime collide.
The Buddha sits at the corner of 11th Avenue and 19th Street. In this part of Oakland, deep potholes and trash mark the street. But then there's this perfectly manicured shrine. It's an elaborate structure decked out with flags, flowers, and wall hangings. Vietnamese immigrants chant there every day. Not all the neighbors are so pleased. The Buddhist alarm clock, they call it. But they're mostly tolerant, even appreciative. Because before the shrine, the corner was much worse.
There was a couple of years there when there was just a lot of street muggings and a lot of car break-ins.
That's my housemate Denise Mewborn. We live half a block from the shrine. Denise has been in the neighborhood for more than a decade. At one point, crime was so bad, she thought about moving. It's better now. She and others credit the Buddha. How it happened is a lesson in history. All of these big and small events bumping into each other and getting us to where we are now. Okay, so the Buddha. By one account, the story starts back in the 1990s. Oakland installed medians to block streets and slow traffic. At 11th Avenue, that created a new problem. Dumping.
Mattresses, tables, junk. Just continual junk.
Dan Stevenson lives catty-corner to the median.
A lot of graffiti, a lot of urination and drug use kind of thing.
Back then, he called the Public Works Department a lot.
I practically became friends with whoever that was on the other end of the line. It was so regular that we had to call them.
Now, Dan isn't religious at all. He's a cynical guy. But in 2009, out of desperation, he epoxied a Buddha to a rock at the corner. His wife Lou bought it at the Ace Hardware. They thought maybe that would shift the energy.
I'd have stuck Christ up there if he'd have kept the mattresses off. I don't care who's doing it.
The dumpings slowed, but then other stuff started to appear.
Flowers and oranges and little things left for the Buddha. Either the Buddha was producing a lot of stuff or something else was happening.
What was happening? The Buddha had been adopted by Vietnamese immigrants, including this woman.
My name Vina.
Vina Vo is a tiny woman, less than 5 feet tall. She grew up in a village called Wong Nai. And as a young girl, she learned traditional Buddhist mantras from her grandmother. Here, her 28-year-old son, Cook Vo, translates.
Okay, she said that every morning she would pray. And similar to now, she would do this at home as well as walk to the temple every day with her grandma.
Then war took over the country.
The town of Vinh Linh, just inside the border of North Vietnam, was struck today by U.S. and South Vietnamese planes.
In 1975, South Vietnam surrendered to the communist North.
April 29th, President Ford orders total evacuation of Americans from South Vietnam.
Vina Vo was 17 years old.
UPI's Alan Dawson, one of a handful of American journalists left in Saigon, watched the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops enter the city in a victory parade.
The communists burnt down their homes, relatives were beaten and killed, the temple destroyed.
She said that her grandma suggests that she go find freedom in any way, and one of those ways were freedom of religion.
In 1982, Vina, her husband and brother got on a small boat.
I know this story. There were 34 people on that boat, and they now live all over the world.
In a Hong Kong refugee camp, In a warehouse with bunk beds and no privacy, a monk regularly came to visit. It had been 10 years since Vina recited the mantras her grandmother taught her. But in the camp, she gathered every week with about 40 people.
It was very important for her to pray because of the struggle ahead, and initially is for health and peace, but ultimately praying for freedom.
7 years passed. The family came to the United States. They hopscotched around before arriving in Oakland. And then in 2010, someone at the Vietnamese church told Vina about the 11th Avenue Buddha.
One of the community members happened to live here, and he actually attends the temple that she goes to. He mentioned to her about this because she lives nearby, like, hey, maybe you could come take care of it and take care of that space and clean up the thing and maybe provide a canopy for the Buddha.
She started doing just that. Friends and family helped. When he put out the Buddha, Dan Stevenson hadn't viewed him as a religious artifact. But Buddhism is a religion, and the Buddha was sitting on city property. A neighbor complained, "Oakland's policy is to tolerate all forms of religious expression. But after that, the city wanted the Buddha gone."
And then I started the campaign to stop that, and that got way carried away.
Dan Stevenson again. He told the neighbors. That got people riled up.
We have a listserv.
My housemate, Denise Mewborn.
The word went out really fast. People sent emails to our council member.
The entire neighborhood just rallied to the defense of the Buddha and said, no, 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 we love it there.
That created a dilemma for city leaders, like local city councilwoman Pat Kernahan.
The neighborhood was getting cleaner and more peaceful, and many people attributed the presence of the little Buddha statue as being part of that.
The city backed down. The shrine has always been beautiful, a spot of grace. But in July, the grounds and the Buddha shelter improved. According to Dan Stevenson, even his face got an upgrade.
His hair's been colored, his garments are gold and red, and I mean, he's beautiful. I would never recognize him on the street.
But it is the same Buddha in the same spot. He is attracting a bigger crowd. During a recent celebration, about 40 Vietnamese donned gray robes on the street. Like Vina, many are refugees who fled their country in search of freedom.
My name is Tan Afanga, and I'm with the Vietnamese American Community Center of the East Bay.
She says the 11th Avenue Shrine mimics life in that part of the world.
Back in our country, in a village, we always have just like, a small shrine in every village or different corner beside the, official temple.
In Vietnam, shrines and temples are community meeting places, just as this shrine is in Oakland. Of course, there are people involved, which means disagreements about management. But mostly, it's bringing people together, and not just from the Vietnamese community. Often, I see people from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds stopping to meditate or pay respects. On National Night Out, the shrine was the obvious meeting place for the neighborhood. As for Vina, she's a familiar, friendly face on 11th Avenue, rigorous in her devotion. She believes the chants make you a better person. Caring for the Buddha is symbolic of caring for yourself or a neighborhood.
How about you? I like it. Over there?
Vina asked me what I think of the shrine. Let me answer this way. There's a Buddhist concept called dependent origination. Simply put, it's the idea of cause and effect. You pick up a glass of ice water, your hand feels the cold. One can't happen without the other. Same with the 11th Avenue Shrine. Its creation required crime, a man's frustration, the Vietnam War, and the devotion of a small, determined woman, all intersecting in one space. Its impact is spreading. The shrine is inspiring my housemates and me to plant a garden in our front yard. We have a standard to live up to. In Oakland, I'm Judy Silber for Cross Currents.
For more stories on belief, belonging, and practice, go to klw.org and click on the Spiritual Edge. And if your neighborhood has undergone a transformation story, we want to hear it. Give us a call on our feedback line, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106, and we may get your story on the air. Namo Ajida Phang Namo Ajida Phang Namo Ajida Phang Namo Ajida